What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast on the Stick Boy feed on We Talk Podcast. Joshua Adam Marathon with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Well, all I gotta say is if you go back a couple episodes, maybe five, six, seven episodes, has me and Mo on there, and Mo talks about All Elite Wrestling. Not calling it All Elite Wrestling, but saying the Elite could spin their YouTube show into an actual wrestling show. And now we sit, what was it? How long have we been into 2019, Josh?
Oof. Well, no, seems like a lot longer, but we are 23 hours in now as this recording.
So, yeah, and All Elite Wrestling is real. I think that's the biggest understatement right now. It's
kind of not a shocker because we've kind of been talking about it. Like, I guess when the trademarks came out in late November, we kind of got the idea it was happening. We now know it's officially happening.
Yep. And they're going Double or Nothing.
Yeah. So we don't know what that means.
Well,
admittedly, that press conference is on Thursday?
Yes, the 8th.
Right.
The 8th of January.
So next two Thursdays from now.
And it has SCU, the Bucks, Cody, Brandy, and I think it had Hangman on there as well.
Yes.
And as of today, Cody, the Bucks, and Hangman and Brandy have all signed All Elite Wrestling contracts. According to Pro Wrestling Torch, the rumor is any guys that have signed contracts are just basically to lock guys down, and once they get a TV deal, that's when the contracts will kick in for the guys.
Right. So the one thing of this that we don't know yet is we don't know the willingness of them to participate in New Japan, which they still very much want to participate in New Japan. So we're having to wait to see what that is, I guess. And we're going to talk about it at the end. So if you want to hear our Wrestle Kingdom preview, that'll be at the end of the podcast. Really excited to talk about that show. So we'll see where they're booked, and we'll talk about more of that with the Wrestle Kingdom stuff. It seems PWG could potentially still happen, but Ring of Honor obviously is in the past. So that's kind of where they stand in promoting with other promotions. I guess my interesting thing is that there's so many angles I want to touch on. Let's go to Double or Nothing, which presumably seems to be All In 2. I have been talking about this to you off air, and maybe we've talked about it on here, but I don't know how well this show will be able to do compared to the last one, where they were the cherry-picked people from an Impact, Ring of Honor, and Japan, where at this point it's going to be only the talent, more than likely, that they have, because I doubt those promotions are going to let them cherry-pick to promote their new promotion.
Does it matter, though?
It doesn't, but I don't know. We'll see how well it gets over as a show this time around without the other talent. That's going to be the key, is the depth of this. They have some great headliners in SCU and the Bucks, Cody and Hangman, but what is the depth? Because as we've seen since those trademarks came out, talent right now is getting scooped up. We saw that with Bandino and the back and forth for Bandino. The Ring of Honor ended up getting him, and AEW really wanted Bandino.
Well, you got to look at it as I think some promotions are going to be feeder promotions now for sure. But the race for number two has gotten very interesting because
yes.
You have MLW, you have Impact, you have Ring of Honor, Japan to a degree in North America. I'm interested to see how they continue to move forward in North America. The simple fact of the matter is, and we now have All Elite Wrestling, if they get a decent TV deal, then that's a game changer. And from everything that was reported, was All In changed a lot of TV executives' minds.
It did.
And I just, after everything that's happened, the doubt on them being able to sell out a show for All In, just doubt across the board. I'm hard pressed to bet against these guys in any way.
Yes, I don't want to bet against them at all. I mean, especially with the fact that multiple TV deals have been offered to them, apparently. Not just one, but multiple TV deals are out there.
You want to know what the kicker is? You want to know the funny part of all this? Is this all started because of a YouTube show?
Mm-hmm.
They have created buzz among hardcore wrestling fans through a 15-minute YouTube video that you can go online now and watch for free. And you can watch them kill famous dick wrestler Joey Ryan. You can watch them murder Adam Cole. You can watch them have Hangman Page mentally break down, Marty's singing career, SCU, all these things that you're like, oh, this is kind of different. Just, it worked. It worked, and it continues to find a way to work.
Well, on the point of that, too, we've seen how that genre has worked in the entertainment side. We've seen artists like Justin Bieber, Charlie Puth, Shawn Mendes, for example, that have been able to get famous, putting their talent on YouTube, and then using it to become superstars, right? Yeah. And they were using this in wrestling, which, let's give all credit to Zack Ryder. He was the first one to use this model and got himself over. And the Bucks took that model. I don't think they had any idea they were going to do this. You look at those first few videos of BTE, it's really nothing more than like, hey, we're on the road just having fun, until they started getting the skits and everything down the road. And I think the first big skit that really happened on there was adding Marty to the Bullet Club and getting rid of Adam Cole. Yeah, that was the first big skit that really changed BTE and really started bringing the eyes to it.
And now, ever since then, it's must-see weekly programming. I mean, you look at the finale, episode 100, where everything kind of fell apart. Then them coming back together, the Golden Elite. It's impressive what they've been able to do. I do want to clarify, I don't think they're going to get anywhere close to WWE, and it's going to be such a long build. This is going to be such a long process to get to any viable spot, because I don't think All Elite Wrestling is going to pass MLW. I don't think they're going to pass Impact. Well, they might pass Impact.
They're going to pass Impact, because really quickly, you and I have never even talked about this offline. The attitude type direction they're taking, and the fact they've lost Pop TV, and they have lost a substantial amount of viewers, I don't know how well that's going to work for Impact this year.
And I mean, the other thing is how long before Don Callis is, depending on where Kenny goes. Kenny is a very big question mark right now. Where does Don Callis go? And if Don Callis ends up in All Elite Wrestling, then that's a big deal. Does Japan take a look at this and go, you know what? We want to hitch our wagon to you guys. We know you guys. We have a really good working relationship with you guys. So let's send talent over there, and let's use that as our American show for guys like Okada, Tanahashi, guys that want to get... Because we'll probably talk about this later in our preview of Wrestle Kingdom, but there's rumors of Kushida potentially leaving for WWE. All Elite Wrestling could potentially scratch that American itch for some of these guys.
Definitely could. That's the thing. They've lost out on Pentagon. They've lost out now on Bandino. They lost out on Brody Lee. They lost out on POC. There's been these talents that haven't gone to AEW. And maybe that's because it wasn't fully established. Now that we have a logo and the social media is there and just the word of it being what it is, maybe that will now help them sign some of these other free agents that are out there.
Yeah, and Meltzer was reporting that they do have guys signed. So they could surprise us with a few of the guys that they've got.
And you got to think it's some vets, right? Like a Carlito, an RVD, a Chris Masters, a Wade Barrett are names that come to mind.
Yeah. They certainly could add that. But I'm interested to see what direction they take this. Like this is... This is going to be an interesting ride in 2019 just to see how this progresses, because they don't have the backing of Ring of Honor and New Japan.
We don't know what that Ring of Honor contract even is with New Japan. We don't know when it expires.
Yeah. So we could be sitting waiting a little bit to see what the answer is. Obviously, Jacksonville is a big deal for them. Florida seems to be the hotbed for wrestling right now, really and truly, because you got NXT in there. And now if you have All Elite Wrestling down in Florida, you suddenly have a battle in Florida.
With them and NXT.
Yeah. Obviously, NXT is much more established. But this is going to be a long process. And I mean, if this doesn't work, I still give them credit for doing this. This takes tons of balls to go and do.
Oh, there's no real downside. If they fail this, they've already kind of said if this fails, we can go to Ring of Honor again. We can go to WWE afterwards. I don't think any bridges will be totally burnt with WWE. They may have to tuck their tails in to a degree. But I don't think those WWE deals, Dave Meltzer's even said, if this fails, those WWE deals for the Bucks and Cody and Adam Page aren't gone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we could be talking at the end of the year that it just didn't work out. But yeah. I'm kind of leaning to believe that All Elite Wrestling will be around at the end of this year and rolling into the next year.
Well, I mean, if MLW worked, all due respect, then having some of the top names, if not the top names right now, as far as internet buzz and social media buzz, I think that can definitely work. I think they've already at least established themselves to me as the third most important brand in North America, if not the second one, with just what we saw from All In and what that Young Buck brand has meant the last 2 years, and then everything else that comes with the Elite End. I mean, just the buzz that SCU has got, and Christopher Daniels is a proven veteran that has been relied on in TNA and Arena of Honor, same with Frankie Kazarian. And I think Scorpio Sky is a great get by them. He's a big free agent I would look at if I was WWE or any other talent. I think he's a decently young guy and has a lot of upside. I think Scorpio Sky is a nice little gem in all of this that they've gotten.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at this, and this guarantees that all of these guys are going to get to write their own stories. They're now within control. I wonder how much we're going to see them on TV as time goes on. I wonder if they're going to take more of a backstage role. I mean, this is big. Like, this was the most anticipated thing leaving 2018, and just as we left 2018 and entered 2019, this whole thing started. And the ball is rolling now. And I don't know where we're going to land, but I know that I'm going to follow suit. The biggest factor in all of this, there are two factors. There are two marquee stars that they don't currently have that they could get, but they could also lose out on. And that's Kenny Omega, and that's Marty Scurll.
There's another one in there, too.
Which one's that?
Chris Jericho.
I just don't see Jericho signing a long-term deal with them. I could see Jericho doing... Well, then again, Jericho's already announced his cruise, so maybe that's...
Can we talk about the picture quick before we get to the other two?
As Dave Meltzer has said, that was a message that was sent out to someone to basically say, give me money. Mm-hmm.
I think we know who that was.
We do, but... We could very well. This could be a message for all three, New Japan, WWE, and All Elite, or this could be just directed at one. I don't know if Jericho would be a huge get at the beginning, but I just can't see Jericho signing like a 3-year contract with them. I can't even see him signing a year contract with them.
Jericho's 48 now.
Yeah.
And I think if this was a younger Jericho, it makes sense. I think he's always kind of said he doesn't want to be one of those guys, right, that just looks sloppy in the ring and everything like that. And Jericho, I mean, he had a 5-star match last January, just a year ago, right, with Kenny Omega. Let's be honest, he was in there with the greatest wrestler in the world right now, and that helped quite a bit. And I'm looking forward to his match this Thursday. But he's not the greatest that he's been in the ring anymore. And the last thing he really wants to do, I think, is burn. Like, he has really pushed the limits of what him and Vince have as a relationship, I think, this year. And, you know, I don't know how much he gives a crap about the Hall of Fame or any of that stuff, but he has a lot of respect for Vince. And so the Hall of Fame has to mean something to him. So how far does he want to push that relationship as he enters into his 50s, and stuff like that's going to matter.
Yeah. You're going to want security for your family.
Yeah. The other two big names you had mentioned, one is Marty Scurll, who has formed his own stable in Ring of Honor right now. We don't know when Marty's contract is up. We do know he's at the MSG show.
Yeah.
He's the only one at the Elite that may be at that MSG show.
There are rumors that his contract's up at the end of April. So right. We could see him win the ROH title in January at some point this month and then drop the title in April.
And we should also note with him, again, it's all about social media the last 48 hours. We have big free agencies coming up in the NHL and the NBA, and still in baseball, Bryce Harper doesn't have a home, neither does Manny Machado. But the wrestling free agency has just been very interesting because Marty Scurll had his New Year's party. Kenny Omega never did show up. We never saw him there. But who he was with was Adam Cole, Chelsea Green, Zack Ryder, just to name a few, all WWE talent, Britt Baker, who's the best friend of Chelsea Green and is Adam Cole's girlfriend. Led a little bit of speculation online last night of Marty being around there. We already know Marty's girlfriend wrestles for NXT. I believe NXT UK, right?
No, she wrestles in the NXT brand.
And I think she does some UK stuff as well.
I haven't seen her yet, but
I saw her this week. Anyways, the bottom line is she's part of WWE. In NXT in some way or fact. So the Marty thing is interesting because that's obviously, and he has connections, obviously being on the reality show and doing stuff in Impact with Rockstar, Drake Maverick. Very interesting with the Marty Scurll situation.
Well, I think Marty Scurll is a very valuable asset because no matter where Marty has gone, he has gotten over. I think Marty is really charismatic. I think he's great in ring. So this is a guy that can get over. I think they'd be a huge get for WWE if they could get Marty Scurll. But, I mean, he's a guy that you could build All Elite Wrestling around for at least a little while. I don't know if he's the permanent guy that is the face of your company, but he's a guy that you can easily build around. And the other one, the
Golden Goose.
Oh, man, because if Kenny goes to All Elite, I have a feeling that Ibushi will follow. I don't think Ibushi will sign any contracts.
No.
But I think Ibushi will follow. And having Ibushi in your promotion is a very good thing because he'll just set fireworks off himself and go running through a hotel. So you will get buzz from Kota Ibushi. I mean, you look at the buzz that Kota Ibushi and Will Ospreay had from the clip that they had.
Which is opening the show, by the way, which we'll talk about in a bit. But so, okay. The story that has came out today, and I think we both need to underline, bold, type, exclamation point, this is a very strong rumor, but Joel, take it away.
Well, I think it's not so much relaying the rumor, it's more relaying the conversation of things that could happen. And the rumor is that WWE and Vincent Hunter are flying out to Japan to talk to Omega. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. It's kind of a wait-and-see game. And I think we'll know by the end of this week where Kenny's going, because Wrestle Kingdom and New Year's Dash is going to tell us. Hmm. But one of the things in this article is that they offered him six figures, and he, more or less, there was wording in the contract that he that they would help promote his gaming side. And that's something he's been very vocal on social media.
Very vocal. He was very mad that Japan didn't promote him with the New Day for the Street Fighter tournament, and that they haven't promoted his Twitch stuff and anything he's done as far as gaming.
Kenny's Quest,
and he kind of poked fun of that in the video that he did, which I highly suggest. It was brilliant. And we have seen what WWE has done with the gaming, with Up Up Down Down being a success that has been for Woods. And now that AJ has his own show in there, and what that's related, we already know the relationship that Kenny has with Woods. We know the relationship that Kenny has with AJ in this. And we know that the network is giving Woods a more or less a gaming show on the network. Maybe they decide to give Kenny something like that with his gaming to fill his gaming void. We did see him in Winnipeg for Christmas. I don't know if that would mean he would be open to move back to North America again fully. Like, I don't know if he was visiting his parents in Winnipeg or a friend of Winnipeg or like where he's, because it's always kind of been a small conversation of, does Kenny live more in Winnipeg or does he live more in Japan? Yeah. Obviously, if he lived in, if he was to work in WWE, he'd probably benefit more to live in North America than in Japan. And also the Ibushi thing's a factor too. Ibushi was in WWE and never treated Ibushi badly. Was very, very fair to him. And maybe he saw how that is. And again, the addition of a lot of his friends that are out there. And last thing I'll say before you get more into this, I think the gaming thing is really huge for him. And I think the biggest thing for him also is there is so many elite matches for him. Matches that he never got to finish off in Japan. Match with AJ Styles and Adam Cole, the two ones. Two programs he never got to finish off. Nakamura is another one. Thank you, Joel. Rey Mysterio. Seth Rollins is another one. Possibly Brock Lesnar. Daniel Bryan. Cien Almas. John Cena. There are so many of these matches. And no disrespect to AEW or Japan, but those matches of those qualities are starting to fade and be few and far between. And most of those guys I just listed are not leaving WWE in the next 2 to 5 years.
Yeah. I mean,
you're going to ruin Kenny Omega's prime against some of the greatest talent ever.
You didn't even mention guys like Cesaro, Joe. Sheamus, Joe Woods, Kingston,
McIntyre,
Braun Strowman, he could
O'Reilly,
probably
Dream, frickin' Ciampa, Gargano.
The thing is, I want a preference. I don't want to go spreading rumors, but I enjoy a good speculation and enjoy a conversation where you look at. Do I think Kenny's going to sign with WWE? No. Is there a chance? Yeah, absolutely.
Dave Meltzer speculated to that nothing was a done deal. And obviously this gaming thing, Dave Meltzer's hit it on in the past and a few other people have. The gaming thing is something that he really wants to pursue. And I'm interested to see what AEW could do for that. I don't think AEW and Tony Khan have as many of the resources to help Kenny as the WWE do, but it's not like Tony Khan doesn't have resources. Does a lot for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and being one of the main factors in the Fulham Football Club is another factor. Tony knows sports and he knows how to promote sports, which is going to help with AEW to a great end. I think, really quickly, I just want to backtrack and then we'll get back to this Kenny thing. The Tony Khan thing, just having to do my research on him, this isn't a Carter situation. This isn't even Court Bauer situation. Court Bauer knows wrestling. This is the guy that knows sports and knows how to market sports.
I think that's the biggest,
scariest thing in this to me. For Vince McMahon, it's like Mark Cuban having it. It's a guy that knows how to market sports, and he's marketed multiple sports with the Jaguars and Fulham Football.
And this is why I would be willing to see New Japan hitch their wagon to All Elite Wrestling, because that's something that you don't always have access to. We know what the company that Ring of Honor is a part of, Sinclair Broadcasting, they're more or less bought to fill dead air for them. That's what Ring of Honor is. They're never going to pour money in. There was reports that Adam Cole and one of the key guys for Ring of Honor, the name escapes me right now and I don't want to say the wrong name, had a meeting and basically like, yeah, no, we really don't want to put anything into this. That's the reality. I think that's the reality of the situation, is they don't want to put money into it.
Which shocks me why Jay Lethal resigned.
You know, sometimes there's comfort. Familiarity is comfort sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe guys just feel comfortable being in Ring of Honor, enjoy the schedule, and WWE didn't come knocking. That could be another thing. But
could be. I mean, even AEW, I thought maybe Lethal would take an opportunity with that.
Lethal,
but
if you remember, Lethal was doing a lot of stuff with the Macho Man stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when some of the sexual assault allegations popped up for him, he disappeared from BTE. And he really hasn't popped back up. He did All In. But can you tell me the last time you saw Jay Lethal on there?
Never.
I mean, those things that died off very quickly, and there was never a conclusion to that, to those accusations. But that's something that could play a role in all this.
Should note too that Joey Ryan did the eyeball emoji at AEW. We'd have to assume that guys like him and Joey Janela, when Joey Janela's healthy and Joey Ryan is healthy, could be connected to AEW. Really quick back to the Kenny thing. I just think overall, it's very interesting. If this is true and Hunter and Vince are going out there, it's the biggest swing they've taken in a long time. We already know they're interested in Kushida, but if they go to Japan, do you think that impresses Kenny at all?
I think it shows that they're serious, and especially if you get Vincent Kennedy McMahon, who, let's be honest, how often does he travel now?
I was going to say, Vince traveling has to tell you a lot. And I wonder, this story talks that about Seth, AJ, and Woods. I wonder they bring them all along. And if I were them, I'd bring Carl Anderson and Gallows with me, too.
Yeah, let the good brothers get drunk in Japan one more time.
Mm-hmm. I'd bring Balor. I'd bring every Bullet Club member. I'd bring Cole.
Kenny Omega is the type of guy that I would do the absolute full court press. Whether this is true or not, Vince could be sitting home comfortably laughing at the mere thought of flying for this guy from Winnipeg that wrestles decent matches in Japan. But I think he's a guy that, look, we didn't talk about it in the end of the year show. The likelihood that you're getting Roman Reigns back is slim.
Yeah.
And let's be even more honest. And this is going to sound cold and harsh, but it's the truth. How much do you want to hitch your wagon to a guy that has had cancer twice?
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen it too. Cena's admitted, like, my schedule, he just did an interview today saying my schedule is not going to let me do a lot of this anymore. And the McIntyre and Braun thing haven't worked out to be the guy as much as we thought. You know, the jury's still out on both of those, obviously, right? But no one's been able to...
The jury is still out for Drew. Seth hasn't been... You know who's the guy right now? And it makes me nervous to say this is the guy right now.
AJ, Brian?
Brian.
Right.
Well, no. The guy is not the guy. It's the man that's generating...
Right, Becky.
Yeah. But, you know...
Kenny can be that guy. It's weird. We've had this debate for a while about the casual fan, and Kenny has been one of those guys that has stuck out with casual fans.
Yep. Next year with HBO Canada and TSN, I believe.
Well, this year.
Well, this
2019
year.
2019
yes.
Now.
Yeah. Oh boy, this is gonna take a while to get used to. This year, in a couple months, they're gonna have a doc on Kenny Omega.
That wasn't HBO before. It was just going to be a Canadian documentary, and now it's on HBO.
And it's one of those things that you look at and you go, this guy could be massive. This guy could absolutely, if he goes to All Elite Wrestling and this doc comes out, that's big for them.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me they won't talk about All Elite Wrestling in the end, and that's where he is currently. Because people will wonder where Kenny Omega is. And Kenny Omega... constantly, whether it's the video chats that they do, like the live streams where they field questions from fans, he always comes across as likable in podcasts. He's a guy that you can easily market. He's athletic, which I think is something that fans want now more than ever. He can cut a promo. He can go out and he can do stuff for you. He can do all the PR stuff. I don't know if he wants the full WWE schedule. That could be something that could absolutely keep Kenny.
I want to give it to him. I'd use him as a special attraction because he is the greatest wrestler in the world right now. To me, there's no question. It's a very thin gap between him and Okada right now to me. But
yeah.
He's the best wrestler in the world right now. And anything Kenny does, and you know, I almost regret not putting him as my best wrestler of the year when you really look at the package just the last 2 years of what he's going to go, even in All In with the match against Pentagon. It was just phenomenal. And Pentagon's a good talent. They're going to be wrong. It's just every time Kenny stands in that ring, he puts on a show, much like Seth was doing for quite a while there, much like AJ has done. And if you get Kenny Omega, number one, it stalls AEW. It takes a big chess piece away from them. And it gives WWE, much like what you talked about with Cena leaving and the uncertainty about the future of Roman, it gives you the guy. Yeah. It's Kenny Omega. He is a marketable, and you know, there's also a lot of rumors about his sexuality that may be addressed in this HBO thing. I just think in this age where we're so open to everything, how great would it be to have an open wrestler? I think that would attract a lot of the LGBT community as well to him, because he also just comes off as such a great guy too, and I don't know how much that would even really affect how people really look at him even. He just comes off as a great guy overall.
My only fear with that.
Yes, this is what we've seen with the WWE and wrestling is done. Orlando Jordan comes to mind.
Yeah, and Billy and Chuck, like.
Yes.
You could go WWE Gold Dust. Ahmed Johnson recently talked about having Gold Dust kiss him, and he didn't want Gold Dust to kiss him, and Gold Dust kissed him, and that sent Ahmed Johnson through the roof. There's a dicey history, but the thing is,
it's an era to replenish that though for them.
Yeah, absolutely. If you bring in Kenny and it's treated as just as it should be normal, then this is something that you can run with. And I just think that regardless, Kenny controls his fate. He could stay in New Japan, but I'm leaning a little bit more towards him not staying, but he could have a home in Japan, and that it could come down to simply as this, and all this speculation and everything would be for naught.
I almost wonder if he just says, you know what, I respect what you guys are doing, Cody and the Bucks. I'm going to sign 1 year in WWE, get my dream matches out, and then I'll come join you.
I don't think WWE would let him do a 1 year.
No, it has to be. Was it multi-year? We don't know if it was multi-year.
I could see it'd have to be a minimum of three.
Mm-hmm.
I could see him tell Cody in the box that he wants to stay in Japan. He could tell them, yep, I'm coming along. Let's go at this. And that could be the end of the story. The biggest thing for All Elite Wrestling, and it's an exciting time for a wrestling fan, this is the best thing to happen to wrestling in a long time, because guys are going to get paid, guys are going to make more money than they typically would, guys are going to make guaranteed money. You're going to have spots now where companies are going to be buying for spots. This is the first time in a while that none of the other companies are going to be able to take a swing at WWE, but they're going to be able to take a chunk out of them.
And that's why WWE doing this is kind of the equivalent of last year during NBA free agency, when like the Lakers got LeBron and a few other people like got some big free agents, and then the Warriors came and got Boogie Cousins, and everyone's like, oh shit, of course. That's kind of what Kenny Omega would be. It'd be like, oh, we got this guy and we got this guy, and WWE got Kenny Omega. Great.
Yeah, that'd be massive. And he's a guy that is, I'd be scared of Vince booking Kenny Omega.
Yeah, I wonder if you could, if the part of the contract would be exclusive booking by Hunter or something.
No, there is not a chance in hell.
Or maybe, like, I wonder if he's mentioned creative control. I wonder if that was something that the Bucks and Cody looked at, and if Kenny would look at creative control as well.
I think so. And that's another reason why, you know, it's fun to do the speculation and what Kenny could mean for WWE. But ultimately, I think everything that we said Kenny could mean to WWE, I think he's going to mean that, and then some to All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, if he goes to All Elite, it's huge. It's just those matches aren't there as much. You can make those matches huge, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they made Cody and Kenny super huge. I mean, the result of the match, eh. But you can make a big match happen.
Josh, BTE made a match out of murdering famous dick wrestler Joey Ryan and having penis druids come out and take Hangman away. Yeah, that was mattered, and people reacted to that. That's a little inside baseball, but at the same time, they were able to build that up. So this is an exciting time for wrestling, because the winds of change are stirring, and I'm interested to see where we are at the end of 2019.
Yeah, so that's everything with A&W, AEW, A&W. We will keep you updated as that comes along. We'll probably do a recap possibly of Wrestle Kingdom. So maybe after the Wrestle Kingdom recap, we'll talk about where the press conference is and everything that's happened from there.
Yeah, that works for me. I've got no complaints. Wrestle Kingdom looks good, but
well, New Year's Dash too. We should wait till after New Year's Dash as well, just to see where everything goes. Quickly, WWE, then 2 weeks of tapings. I guess just the biggest story out of this was just kind of how mundane Raw has been, and just the continued evolution and growth of Becky Lynch on SmackDown.
She threw Cena out of a ring. I think that's all you need to say.
But she had her match pulled versus Asuka. That was also very weird.
Yeah, I don't think they fully. I think they now getting the Cena rub is massive for Becky. That is a big, big, big deal because let's be honest, Cena is this generation's Hogan.
Rock Austin.
Yeah. He is your MVP for so long
that he arguably could be the greatest WWE competitor of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And he rubbed shoulders with Becky Lynch and he let Becky clown him every step of the way. The Nikki line, throwing him out of the ring and getting the pin, and then the go to shake hands and the you can't see me. She beat Cena, and Cena put her over in a promo that's online as well. Yeah. So I think that tells you what Cena thinks of Becky. Not necessarily what WWE thinks, but what Cena thinks.
Yeah. So which I think is absolutely huge. Rusev's the U.S. champion. We'll see what happens with that feud. And I guess the other big thing is this AJ and Vince dynamic.
I'm surprised. Well, I'm not surprised. Here's the thing. I know a lot of people were really excited about Ali challenging for the title, but this is a good thing. Because it's not push Ali to the moon and then, oh, got to take that fuel out of that rocket. You got to come back down to earth, kid. This is a slow build for Ali, and I think that's a smart thing to do.
Yeah. Do we think there's any chance Ali fights for the title at Mania?
No. No. No?
Don't seem so certain.
I honestly don't know who Brian's opponent is. Well, no, I
think we speculated Ray.
Well, and there's some rumors that it's Cena, and Cena would get 17 there.
Right.
I just don't know what Cena's schedule if you want to do that. But
well, he apparently has another big movie coming up soon.
So Cena's going to be disappearing as quickly as he came back.
I think he has Duke Nukem coming up.
I wonder how that's going to work in today's climate.
Yeah.
Have you ever played the Duke Nukem games?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And he has the Dr. Doolittle movie coming up as well.
He's a busy man.
Yeah. Well, he said in that promo that he did online, if you want to believe him, that he had time off, and they said, go have that time off, and he went on the road and did all these shows. So he's obviously, you know, working his way to do what he can. Anything else really that stood out to you, WWE, the past 2 weeks?
Drew McIntyre's claymores are killer.
Oh, my goodness. He destroyed Dolph's head.
And apparently Dolph's going to be taking some time off, so this just makes Drew look like a bigger killer.
Yeah, Zack Ryder finally, it took 364 days. Zack Ryder got onto Raw after his tweet. And apparently, I saw a little bit of clip. The Botchamania type of network show by the Good Brothers received pretty strong reviews.
For positive or negative?
Positive.
That's good. Josh.
Matthew said he's not worried. Neither should Matthew be worried.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Did you see the opening clip to the ENC show that totally reeks of awesomeness?
From what, this past week?
Yes.
No, because I currently don't have a network subscription because I'm not getting it back to the Rumble.
Well, Josh, we've got a few things to talk about, but I got something to send you, and I want to have you watch it live on air to get your reaction because this one was a good one. What other network shows are there? Because as I scroll through and try to find the link.
I think, well, you were talking to me about the Woods one. He has the Arcade Challenge. That's one that came out. And you said he had a travel show coming up as well?
I think it's a mix. I think it's a gaming slash traveling show.
Right. And the Fashion Files Cold Case.
And that's on YouTube as well for anyone that wants to check it out.
Yeah.
Oh, hopefully this didn't get pulled. Oh, I found it. I found it.
All
I'm
right.
good. Are you ready,
Yeah.
Josh?
Sure.
So this is the open for the Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness, and it's Will WWE Talk About It?
Well, they did this before, and they were so late and everything that this is a new one now.
Yep.
Okay. See if this opens.
This is gonna be fun. I don't think we've
We're
done
gonna
them.
do. We haven't done a live one for a while.
For everyone's favorite show on the WWE Network. Will WWE Talk About It? That's right. It's the show that's got more buzz than a Sabu and RVD ride-along episode. Let's spin the wheel. Wow. Do we even need to ask the question? Will WWE Talk About No chance in hell that name will ever be talked about in WWE again. In fact, I'm amazed we can even say on this show. Well, obviously you can't say out of being censored. I said, right. Well, then maybe I could. You know, I went back to the parents' place for dinner last week. Hey, you better knock it off. Or else it's clobbering time. Oops. I'm breaking the fourth wall.
So more or less, they just kind of did poked fun at Punk, which, yeah, interesting.
I'm surprised. Well, ENC seems to get away with anything and everything. They did mention the Young Bucks on one of their most recent episodes, so they broke the fourth wall.
We've seen them mention indie guys before. I mean. Who was it? I think Corey Graves brought it for Match of the Year. He said Will Ospreay and Ricochet one time.
Yeah, because that was on, what was that show called?
That was the one with Rosenberg and JBL. That
yeah.
Actually, you know, it was a cool idea. It just, I think some of the participants weren't the right people.
Yes, yes. Corey Graves was definitely the right fit.
Yeah.
So they broke the fourth. I was generally surprised when I saw it. I was like, oh. Because I saw the name, and the name's CM Punk.
Yes. Which I guess is someone we should mention, too, for AEW. And that's the big Kenny match that's out there, if they want to build to that.
I just think Punk's going to cost you too much money. But, I mean, if you want to create some real buzz, that could be it.
Yeah. If that's the match you want. That's the only match that's out there, I think, left. I mean, you watch Japan more than I do. I think the Tanahashi match was the Tanahashi match like the last really, really big Kenny match they could promote. Other than like other, you know, the Okada and Yano rematches are out there, but
there's some the Osprey match. I think.
I guess it depends who you bring up, like Osprey and some of those as well.
Yeah. I was surprised that that ENC got away with this one because we've heard of them censoring WWE Network shows in the past. And this was clearly censored, but I'm.
Yeah, I think the point of it was the censor stuff.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just interested to know where this was shot as complacent and to where the lawsuit was currently going on when they shot it.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing is you talk about WWE wanting to bring in heavy hitters. 2018 was weird. 2019 could see the return of CM Punk to WWE.
Yeah, I mean.
Who really knows anymore at this point?
It'll be 5 years this year.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I guess other than that, we don't really have a lot of... We know the New Day, I think, were the first to announce themselves for the Royal Rumble.
That is correct.
I would say, really quickly, we know we have a title match. We have two title matches. We have Braun and Brock, and we have AJ and Bryan. And then we don't know anything for the women's. We know we have women's tag titles.
Yep.
Up there, we don't know how they work with the brands, do we?
No, nothing's.
Do we know if we have two separate women's tag titles, or is it just one?
There's only one man that knows, and I don't think you want to try to get into his head.
Yeah, so I don't know. So I can't specify, like, if it's just one, then it's obviously you open to, like, Mandy and Sonya on SmackDown and the Iconics, and then on Raw you obviously have the Riot Squad, Tamina and Nia, Sasha Bailey. So I don't know how that dynamic's going to work, but I'm really happy that there is going to be women's tag titles. I think that's really appropriate.
It's a smart move.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just to give the women a little bit something more to fight for. Also, I got a chance to watch NXT UK to a degree. They announced the show that's going to be taking place. I think it's on the 15th, their takeover.
That's right.
And Toni Storm cashed in her opportunity with Johnny Saint to take on Rhea Ripley for the NXT UK Championship. It's the first match that was announced for the show, live at least.
Jeez.
So, should be really excited to see. I mean, we're going to get that. I think 2 weeks later, we'll get NXT. We'll just get NXT, normal NXT. So really excited for this UK takeover show. Mark Andrews is over there now. It seems like Fabian Aker is over there now. So a lot of talent that was in NXT that just couldn't find a way, that put them to NXT UK. And I think that's worked, especially for Fabian Aker, who you and I have both seen in the past and really liked him. And they sent him over to Evolve as well. I think he's one of their champions right now.
He was.
Okay. So I'm glad that guys like that, maybe NXT UK will kind of just become NXT Europe to a degree, I think. And that will evolve that side over there. And I guess we're going to kind of see that with a guy like Walter. And I'm assuming that's probably where Walter will debut, is at that takeover.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want to travel. I don't think he wants to travel over stateside as often. So that will be where he pops up.
That's it for WWE. We'll talk. I'm not going to preview or give Rumble winners or whatever. We have so much time to talk about that. Really quickly, UFC, you and I did a great pod that I highly suggest everyone to go back on. Really the quick highlights in this, Amanda Nunes, I think, became the best fighter in mixed martial arts women history. I think it's almost safe to say now with how dominant she's been. She knocked out Cyborg in 51 minutes.
51 seconds. 51 minutes seconds, is a long fight.
Yeah, thank you. And also, John Jones beat Alexander Gustafsson, and it's good for him. It's been a whole 3 days, and nothing about him doing the wrong thing with the title yet or failing any drug suspensions yet. We still got time. And then he called out Daniel Cormier for a rematch. If Cormier takes that or not, I don't know. We still got to speculate if Brock's going to do another fight. And Dana also announced today that Conor and Khabib is going to be a thing that happens this year. I don't know why, because Khabib dominated Conor. I get why, because of the melee, but the fight is going to be Khabib.
I got no answer for you, man. I'm burnt out of UFC.
Corey Anderson was someone that really impressed me, by the way.
I didn't watch the cards. This is definitely more in your forte.
Corey Anderson was the guy that, you know, that talked about the pregnant wife and everything.
That is correct. I remember
and
that.
And he called out John Jones and everything, and that's why he's kind of trying to get himself into a realm to face John Jones. He got a decision in 3 rounds in his fight.
Ooh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Build yourself up.
Yeah, I guess to me the highlight is whatever John Jones won. I think we kind of assumed that John Jones was going to win against Alexander Gustafsson because John Jones is a good fight. He just doesn't fight clean. I think the highlight to me is Amanda Nunes now. She's knocked out like everyone that came against her. She's knocked out some of the biggest names now. Rousey, Cyborg, name the name, and she's done a tremendous job of that. And also, Paige VanZant's contract with Reebok was declined today. She has a fight on the 14th. I believe the WWE vultures have been circling her for some time, though.
By vultures, you mean Stephanie?
Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to establish that.
Yeah, they've been circling her, so I wonder with Reebok canceling not renewing her contract. She can also go to Under Armour, but we know how much Reebok means to the UFC. Maybe she'll go to Under Armour, Nike, I'm not sure. Win or lose, I think she may be moving on after this fight coming up.
It seems to be a certain point where you transition to WWE one way or another.
Yeah. Should we talk about the show of the year?
Well, this is going to have the match of the year and the opening match. So,
yeah.
Ooh, just quickly, one more thing I wanted to add to All Elite Wrestling. The one thing that they absolutely need to do at some point is have a women's division. Because if you give the women another spot to go to, then that's just going to help the women's wrestling grow even more. Because let's be honest, when the highlight for Mania is going to see Becky and Ronda in the main event.
Yeah, and so for them, I don't see them getting Britt Baker.
No.
Because of the fact that, again, I don't know if they're engaged or not, but her significant other and Adam Cole works for NXT, WWE, and her best friend's now in NXT. And also she's super close to Marty's girlfriend who works in NXT. I think she's just kind of connect the dots. And if not, then she'll obviously be in a dental assistant, which is not a bad job to have at all.
No, pays well.
Definitely pays well and definitely hurts a lot less.
Yes. But no, I just wanted to add, I think women's division is important, and if they can do that, then that's another step forward.
I also got to add, for this Wrestle Kingdom poster is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh.
It's an absolutely beautiful poster.
I'm so excited for this show, and I'm going to see it live. Not
me
live,
too.
Live, but I'm going to get to see it.
So
no spoilers online. Yes.
I will. We're gonna skip the gauntlet match. So I'm not doing the Rumble this year. There's a few people in that gauntlet though. I just want to mention. Maccabee's in that. Jeff Cobb's in that. Beretta, Chucky T's in that. Lance Archer, David Boy Smith, Heyman Page, and Marty Scurll all in that that gauntlet at the beginning for the Never title. So no. We're not getting the Rumble this year, which is always kind of, it's a filler match, but, you get some fun things. You get some fun appearances to open the match there, but nothing like that. But some big names in that the pre-match.
Yeah, and I mean, just looking at this, you have Suzuki in it.
Yeah.
And Suzuki's probably going to
David Finlay, too. Well, I think David Finlay's going to have a breakout season this year.
Oh, it's always possible.
We've been waiting for it for a while. And Jeff Cobb's another guy, I feel like. We've been waiting for Jeff Cobb. We've been waiting for a David Finlay breakout. And with Heyman Page no longer going to be in the promotion after this, more than likely, and possibly a few other names, he's one, David Finlay, that I would really look to step up.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about the match that's opening the show?
Someone's going to die.
This is opening the show. I think this Dave Meltzer was saying this to Brian Alvarez, and you and I have said this to each other, and I don't think it's hyperbole. This is probably the greatest match to open a show in the history of professional wrestling.
They're going to die. Like, just pray for their necks.
Yeah. Kota Ibushi, Will Ospreay, Kota defending the Never Open Championship. The only way this could be crazier if it was a ladder match, which Japan doesn't really seem to do. This is going to be crazy. I do have Will Ospreay winning this, but
I can't
it's
see them
going to be crazy.
I think they'll probably keep the title on Naito.
Think so? Ibushi, you mean?
Ibushi. What?
Yeah.
must be drinking.
He comes in a while. Regardless, this match is going to be absolutely crazy. Ospreay's year in Japan is going to be very interesting because I think we're going to start seeing his adapt to this. To the heavyweight division, which opens up a whole bunch of interesting matches. Will Ospreay, I think, is a really early contender for Wrestler of the Year for me. I think he had a really strong finish to the year last year. He had a strong start, then got injured and kind of faded away, and then finished strong. But I think if Ospreay can stay, listen to Chris Jericho's word and work a little safer, which we'll see if he listens to or not, then it could be really a really good year for him. But yeah, these two are going to destroy each other. It's going to be an intense match.
Yeah, it's like I said, someone is probably... Oh, I'm so excited for this match, though.
Then we have a three-way for... And I feel so bad for these guys having to follow this match, by the way. Because it should be a good match, but these guys having to follow this, Joel, I feel really bad for them. We have Suzuki Gun versus Roppongi 3K versus Los Ingrávenes de Japón. In this match, who do you like in this match?
You get me to think, and I don't.
I like Roppongi 3K. I've liked Sho and Yo.
You know what? I'll go with them. Although I could see Los Ingrávenes winning.
Yeah, I could too. I again, I just feel so bad for these guys having to follow the Ospreay and Kota match.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Moe's Wrestler of the Year and Tomohiro Ishii against Zack Sabre Jr. for the British Heavyweight Championship. I believe this is the Progress Championship, correct?
That you may be wrong on.
Rev Pro. I don't know what to think about this match. I would think Sabre's going to get that title back.
Yeah.
And then Ishii can go on to other things in Japan. But this is another match. Well, Ospreay and Kota are going to show a high-flying exposition. These two are just going to beat the shit out of each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is going to be a meat and potatoes match, and it's going to be great. Ishii's produced some of my favorite matches in New Japan, and I enjoyed Zack Sabre Jr., so this is right up my alley.
Who do you got?
I've got Zack Sabre Jr. winning the title.
Me too. Next, we have the Tag Team Championship, and this is a tremendous match as well. We have the Guerrillas of Destiny, the Tongans, against Los and Sabre with Sonata and Evil against the Young Bucks. And what could be the Young Bucks' last New Japan match for a long time.
Last Tokyo Dome match.
Yeah. I like the Tongans in this. The Guerrillas of Destiny.
Yeah, I would probably go that way too. But I could see there is no way if the Bucks win, then I don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, I think one of these title changes that seem too obvious, there's three of them as far as elite members are involved, and one that's with a non-elite member, and one with someone that's going to WWE possibly. One of those is going to swerve us, at least going into New York Dash, you'd have to think, right?
You'd think.
Yeah, but that one, I think the Guerrillas of Destiny are going in, and if you follow Tommy Tonga on social media, if you don't, please do, because the feud he's having with World Culture Pro Wrestling and with Cultaholic is highly entertaining right now.
Yes, 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 yes.
Next, we have the IWGP United States Championship, Cody versus Juice Robinson. Juice, who had a tremendous uprising last year. I think this is going to – he already held the title, but winning in the Tokyo Dome, I think this will be Juice's crowning achievement. I got Juice Robinson winning this.
Yeah, I do too. But then again, Gato is a madman, so
– yeah.
But I still –
Juice has been great though.
Yes, 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 yes.
Next match. Again, from this point, other than the third last match here, pretty much from the tag match all the way down – you're very conflicted with all these results because everyone else in these matches could potentially not be in Japan next year.
Yeah.
And could be not in Japan in February. So that's why it's very interesting for some of the picks in here. And that includes this match. We have the junior heavyweight champion, Kushida, against Ishimori.
Kushida's not winning. I can tell you that right now.
No,
I think so. I think this is the crowning moment for Bone Soldier. This will be this is going to be a great match. We talk about this being a deep card, and it absolutely is. This is going to be a fantastic match that will be one of those matches that you're like, this is actually really good. If it wasn't for Ibushi and Ospreay going to a 60-minute time limit draw to start the show, we don't know what this would have been a great match.
Yeah, I agree with you and Bone Soldier on that one. Next, by the way, this is one of the deepest cards I've ever seen in the history of wrestling. This card is ridiculous.
It's going to be fun.
We have Okada versus Jay White.
Do you want facts quickly, Josh?
Yeah, please. There's a lot into this Jay White and Okada one.
So this will be in Okada's rise, this will be the third time he doesn't main event the Tokyo Dome. The first time he got voted out by the fans, and it was Tana versus Nock for the IC title at Wrestle Kingdom 8. And the other time was he was on the fourth match against Yoshihashi at Wrestle Kingdom 6. Every other Wrestle Kingdom, Okada has closed the show out.
So. And then he's the third match in this, which is really interesting. And, you know, you and I were a little skeptical of Jay White, but he really had himself a great 2018.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see.
Having said that, he already beat Okada once and I think Okada's getting his win back.
Yeah, there's too much money invested in Okada to mess around with it.
I think they're going to protect Jay White because he's going to turn out to probably be a very valuable guy for them with some of the talent that could be leaving. So they're going to want to protect Jay White.
He could be the next foreign IWGP heavyweight champion.
He definitely could. And he's now the leader of the Bullet Club. The next match for the Intercontinental Championship, Chris Jericho versus Naito. These two beat the hell out of each other at Dominion. And I don't see much difference in this match. And it's the second last match on the card.
Yeah, Jericho is not going to wrestle I don't think Jericho can really wrestle an athletic style anymore. Though no. I say that and he'll go out and prove me wrong, as he always does. Naito wins here, and this is a big moment for Naito to rub shoulders with Jericho. And they're going to kill each other.
This is the match I could see the swerve on.
You could see Jericho retaining?
One of these last two are the ones I see the swerve on.
Just to screw with us.
Yeah, I do see Naito winning ultimately, but this is the one that has me like, you could see Jericho losing on the New Year's Dash show to somebody, like a Jay White, for example, or something. I don't know. I think Naito's winning, and this match is going to be really interesting. It could be the last Tokyo Dome match for Jericho ever. He's had a nice run in Japan, and I'm very excited for this match as well.
Yeah, this is big. Like, this is big for Japan. You want to build up Naito because it's the 2020 Tokyo Dome is on a weekend. Mm-hmm. And that means a lot to Japan. So this could be rebuilding Naito to heat him up.
He's never had that crowning moment, really.
No, nope.
Because we thought it was coming last year, and it didn't come.
I was shocked. But then again, the run Okada was on, you look back on it, and you go, oh, I'm not so shocked anymore.
Yeah. And then the finale.
This match is going to be a dud. We don't have to talk about this at all.
Potentially Kenny Omega's last match in the Tokyo Dome. Against the Ace of Japan, Tanahashi.
The former Ace of Japan. Okada's the ace.
Yeah.
But Tanahashi's made a big push.
They're John Cena. They're Hulk Hogan.
Oh, boy. It hurts me. I will have my Elite shirt on when this match is going on. It hurts me. But Tanahashi's winning the title.
Yeah, I think so.
And you know what? You know what that means for the main event of the MSG show.
It means Okada and Tanahashi.
One more time.
Mm-hmm. When he hits that high fly flow, you know one of those high fly flows is going to lead to a V-trigger, though, and it's going to be unbelievable.
I didn't even... Oh, my God. Someone's going to die. They're just going to have body bags ready. Like, this is going to be brutal. But this is going to be fun. I hope everyone's safe, and I hope everyone gets out healthy. But I just think of Ibushi and Ospreay's neck, and I shudder. This match, Kenny and Tanahashi, is going to be incredible. This is Kenny's second time main eventing the Tokyo Dome, first time as champion. To me, Kenny should have a nice long run with the title, but with everything up in the air, it changes things.
Yeah, obviously we talked about the start of the show with the Vince and Hunter stuff, and obviously AEW. Kenny's future is very interesting. He's had that title now for half a year. He's never had the big win at the Tokyo Dome, particularly.
Not as a heavyweight. Well, not as a heavyweight.
He beat Jericho, but he's never won in the main event. And that's where I wonder is, does Kenny get his one crowning jewel moment in the Tokyo Dome?
I mean, it could happen, but I venture a guess to say Tanahashi will get his final Wrestle Kingdom main event win.
I think you're right, Joel. So there it is. It's going to be an exciting show. I don't know what if there's any show that's going to be able to beat this, if everything goes to what we can do, there's no dud in there. There's no like bathroom break match at all. Like everything in this match, everything in the show is going to be outstanding. In how many match of the year candidates do we have in here? Three, four.
Yep.
Kota Osprey, Kenny Tanahashi, Okada, Jay White, and Kushida and Bone Soldier.
Yeah.
And then Jericho could always surprise us.
Oh.
And I think a sleeper pick is that Ishii and Sabre match.
Yeah.
So, and you're missing, you know, there's some people like, why is Elgin not on this?
Let's not talk about Elgin.
Okay, sure.
Let's pretend he doesn't exist.
And Takahashi's hurt, right?
Yeah, broken neck.
Right, unfortunately. So there you go. I mean, it's weird not to see like Marty or Hangman being the main thing of this, right?
Yeah, especially Marty. You'd think they'd go with Marty in a bigger spot, but
yeah.
Alas, this is the way it goes sometimes.
So there we go. I'm very excited for this show. I know you're really excited for this show, Joel. Thanks everyone for listening. It's been a crazy 2018, and a lot of the anticipation that we had in 2018 is now here in 2019. We look forward to following you around. We have some exciting news coming up for the future of One Fall Podcast in a few weeks' time, with some exciting ideas and stuff that we have floating around, but we'll get to those when we can put some cement to them. Joel, thanks for coming on, and everyone, make sure you check out everything on the Stick Boy Network, everything on We Talk Podcast, everything on the Fresh Take Network. We love what we do for all of you, and until next time, cheers.
Pray for next.
Enjoy the day, people.